Today's Second Testament reading is from Ephesians 5, 15 to 20. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Still not convinced to like bugs. The Lord is with you. Will you pray with me? Loving and wise God, before we came here this morning, you were here waiting for us to come and meet you. We have come, and we have heard you speak to us in love through the reading of your inspired poetry and story, through the offerings of music and prayer we have made. And as we reflect now on part of your written story, turn up for us. Be real to us. Show yourself in your fullness, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. If any of you, you may have heard of the social networking group in Edmonton called Babes Without Babes. I've met the person who founded this group. She's a professional woman who, with her partner, has decided not to have children. And in her social circle, she found herself a bit ostracized. She found herself being treated as other as a result of their decision. And so she founded this group targeted at women who choose not to have children, to provide them an opportunity for social interaction and networking and support and friendship. I happened to be listening to CBC Radio 1 when I was driving one morning several years ago, and I heard the next segment would be an interview with this woman about this group that she had founded. And I stayed tuned in, and I listened as she responded to the interviewer's questions about the group. And finally, the question many may have been expecting came up. What if, the interviewer asked, what if a person who is already a member of the group has a change in their life journey and decides that they want to have children? The founder of the group said that with best wishes, members of the group who decided to have children would be invited to leave the group. This group had criteria for membership, and not everyone could belong. I had my first shoulder dislocation when I was 13 or 14, and things kind of got worse from there. When I was in my 20s, I was due to have surgery and didn't have surgery. And so about 8 years ago, it was bad enough that I couldn't do what I wanted to do, and it was time to have surgery, to have my shoulder repaired. So I went through the process of seeing a physician and having x-rays and an MRI, met with my orthopedic surgeon, went through all the pre-op exams and blood tests, filled out medical profiles and consent forms. And all that was necessary before I was able to be admitted for the procedure. Even a hospital is exclusive in its way. I wasn't just allowed to have a bed and a meal at a hospital for a change of scenery. I had to be sick. What qualified me for a stay in the hospital was that I needed my shoulder repaired. And you've had experiences like that. You may have applied to a school which denied you a place, or tried out for a sport team and failed to make the roster, or auditioned for a music group and not made the cut. Our social groups and institutions in the world are exclusive. Now, I'm not suggesting Babes Without Babes or Grey Nuns Hospital should be any different in their criteria for admitting people or excluding them. And schools and sports teams and music groups just aren't able to accept everyone into membership. And we may have experienced disappointment at this, but we pretty much accept it as being normal. And then there's the church. You may have noticed that the picture on the front of today's bulletin is a pomegranate. Now, besides being an incredibly tasty and terribly frustrating fruit, the pomegranate has been a Christian symbol through the ages. One of the things it's said to represent is the church, with all the little seeds being a part of the whole. Unlike social networking groups or hospitals or sports teams or schools, the church is perhaps the only institution in the world which is supposed to accept everybody. Christ, the great leader of the church, calls his followers to break down barriers between people. The church is, as defined by Christ, a different sort of group. It's unique. The verses of our reading from Ephesians today speak of wisdom. The overarching theme of Ephesians is the unity of the body of Christ. In about AD 50, what is known as the Jerusalem Council took place. It's recorded in Acts 15. The early Christian leaders gathered in Jerusalem to address an issue which had become divisive in the church. Jesus had put religion in its rightful place. He had honored it. He had respected it. But he had made clear that unity was the new byword. The things which divided people were to be done away with. And this was different for the Christians of Jewish heritage. Now, belonging to God wasn't reserved for the few as they had understood, as they had thought. Now, all were called to accept Christ and to become a part of his family. But this all thing posed difficulties for Jewish Christians, because what they had known and been taught all of their lives and for generations about the way they were to practice their faith was being challenged, because the followers of Christ, who didn't have Jewish heritage, didn't practice those things. And so these leaders met and asked, what's our responsibility to the body here? Jesus came to welcome all into fellowship with him and with each other. So what should the church look like Does everyone have to look and walk and talk the way we always have? Which rules need to be followed? Do the men need to be circumcised? How do we manage to be one when we're all so different? Based on hindsight, it's easy for each of us to look at the past and wonder how a decision like that could have been so difficult. But if you've ever been challenged to let go of a part of your identity, you'll have a sense of how difficult this decision may have been. The symbols, the manifestations of their faith had meaning to Jewish Christians. But as they began to see the church divided over these things, they felt moved to ask, how then shall we live anew? We can say that we're all one, but what does it matter if we start to behave as if we're divided, if we don't treat each other as if all belong? So Ephesians seems to be one of the books that addresses some of the practical issues that arose from the Council of Jerusalem. If it's true that we don't all have to look and walk and talk and quack the same way, how then shall we live? How do we live out unity? That takes me back to wisdom. We often refer to wisdom as a virtue, this characteristic that at least somebody has told us it's good to have. And it is that. But the author of Ephesians is referring to something more than just an idea. Back in July, Ken Bellis reminded us that salvation goes beyond John 3:16. Our salvation is relational. It lives beyond the John 3:16 moment. It lives through us in the life of the church, our spiritual family. The wisdom referred to here in Ephesians is not just an abstract concept. I remember as a child having wisdom explained to me as the ability to apply knowledge, which is a perfectly good definition until I had to do it when it becomes much more complex. This word in Ephesians has deeper meaning. The hearers would not have assumed it was just an abstraction. They would have understood it to have practical application and to show itself in their lives. A striking thing about the example of these early Christians is perhaps that when there were issues to be resolved or questions to be addressed, they turned up. The very fact that the Jerusalem Council took place says something significant. They turned up. They came to the table, willing to talk, willing to learn, willing to work together. I interned as a mediator with the Provincial Court of Alberta, and I remember sitting in a mediation between a couple of small business owners from a small town in northern Alberta. They had a dispute over an unfulfilled contract, and one party had decided to take the other to court, and as is encouraged, they were steered toward motivation as an mediation as an option to resolve their issue. The co-mediator and I, of course, hoped we would be able to guide the process and give them tools to find a resolution between themselves without the need of a judge. And as we sat together working with this pair, we very quickly saw their lack of willingness to work with each other. Their issue had become complex. It was no longer about money or contracts. It was about hurt feelings and damaged reputations. Each felt let down by the other. Each felt threatened by the other. And despite our encouragement and guidance, they each became more and more belligerent with the other, and they left the room unable to work out a solution. But then there are also people who come to mediation wanting to end the battles they've been having. People who have been holding on to fights for too long and are tired of what it's costing them. The process is rarely smooth and easy and neat. But it is magical to see what happens when people decide to listen to the story of another person. And when they exercise the courage to tell their own story. Those people still feel let down. They still feel threatened. But because of their intention to be open to the other, those people don't so often leave those rooms headed for court. They can leave those rooms with the satisfaction of having worked together. With solutions that work for everybody involved. And sometimes they even leave those rooms headed out for coffee together. That is wisdom that lives. And that's the message of verse 21 of Ephesians 5. Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submission. This openness to the beliefs and practices, the feelings and experiences of others. It can be relatively easy when we're talking to someone whose feelings and practices are similar to our own, and not so easy when those things are different. Not so easy when our values are challenged by another. And yet, this is what we are called to do, to submit to one another. To live out our wisdom. Submission in the midst of differences is a challenge. It takes courage. The courage to exercise trust in another. And it takes a willingness to make trusting safe to do for another. Submission includes the surrender of control and the willingness not to know exactly where we'll end up. And yet, it is what we are called to do. As foreign as that is, it is scary, it is bumpy, it is uncomfortable. And it is hopeful, it is joy-filled, and it is fruitful. Verse 18 of Ephesians 5 talks about being drunk with the Holy Spirit, an almost playful comparison. It is assuming that there is joy and happiness in sharing our individual journeys with each other, that we experience delight and even ecstasy as a result of our choice to prioritize living as one. It is wisdom that lives. You may have experienced that type of spiritual community. Perhaps you haven't experienced that type of spiritual community. We have each had times we have done this well in our lives. And we've each had times when we haven't done it so well. And goodness, are we ever quick to diminish our own value and the value of others when we don't do it well. So it's a good thing our success at this is not where our value comes from. It's a good thing this is a journey. I was talking to Evelyn, our minister of music, earlier in the week about the service today. And she said to me, yes, we're all just being and doing. When we stumble over the wisdom we are called to live, we don't lose our value for the same reason that each one of us is worth the challenge of submitting to each other in our differences, simply that each one of us is the beloved of God. So may we lean into that journey together. As a spiritual family here in this church and beyond, and also in every area of our lives, as nuclear families and friends, and as a human family, being one with those who need community, who need support, who need to belong. May we challenge ourselves and each other with this, providing each other the safety to trust, just as Christ does for us. May we be gracious with ourselves and with each other, providing each other a safe place to fall, just as Christ does for us. May we experience joy and happiness together. May the wisdom we have been given live both in us and out of us, and may we submit to one another out of reverence for Christ and have evermore the peace of Christ in our hearts and in our midst. In the name of our wise and loving God, let it be so.